fall.
We'll join that everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. Never grow tired of singing it. Romans 1 now. Romans chapter 1. I'm not sure time will allow us to go as far as I would like, but I'm just hoping as the Lord will bless Brother Henry's prayer and speak to somebody, just speak a word, just one word. There's enough in here to save somebody. Verse 1, Paul, and again, he does not say the right Reverend Most Holy Dr. Father Paul, just Paul. Just Paul, a servant, and really the word there is slave, a slave of Jesus Christ, a willing bond slave. Do you know the story of the bond slave in the Old Testament? I love that story. And you know, this concept of slavery is lost to our generation. There's no one living on this planet who was a former slave. No one. And the concept of slavery is relatively unknown. But there were times when a man actually was master over another one. He was an owner. He bought that person with a price. And he actually owned that person, their body, everything about them. And a slave was forced to do his master's bidding. Well, in the Old Testament, slavery was all over. And the story of a bond slave was that after so long a period of time in the laws of God, the Jews, if they owned a slave, after so long a period of time, they were required to set that slave free. And that slave had an option. At the end of that time, if he was set free, if he had a good master, if he loved his master and enjoyed working for his master and wanted to stay with his master, he could continue with him as long as he'd like. And the symbol of that was he would go up to the doorpost of the house and they would bore his ear through the knoll. They'd bore his ear and he'd become a willing bond slave. In other words, he stayed there to be the lifelong slave, yes, servant, of that master that he loved so well. Well, Paul is saying here, that's me. I've got a good master. He bought me with a price. And the price was the precious blood of his own son. And I love my master. And I don't want to leave my master. And so Paul says, I've had my ear bored. I've heard the gospel. And it's been bored through, and that hole went all the way through to my heart. And I love my master, and I'm his slave. Now, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ, a servant of his. And I'm happy just to stay right there and serve him. Called, verse 1, called to be an apostle. Called to be an apostle. The call to be an apostle was the same as the calling to be a disciple now. It was calling. It wasn't an offer. It wasn't an invite. It was a powerful, effectual call. A powerful, effectual mandate. When Christ was walking down the road one day, he saw Peter and the boys in the boats, and he said, he didn't say, would y'all like to follow me? I'm sorry to bother you, but I really hope and wish that you would follow me if you've got time. What did he say? Follow me. What did they do? They followed him. That's the effectual call. That's exactly what it is. And Paul, when Paul was riding his white horse on the road to Damascus one day, the Lord met him and called him the same way. Paul, he fell on his face. at the feet of the Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. It's hard to kick against those pricks, isn't it? The effectual call. Follow me. And they did. And we do willingly and gladly. And Paul says, I was called to be an apostle. And what that means is just a messenger. Just a messenger of Jesus Christ. To tell people about Him. All right, read on. Separated unto the gospel of God. Separated unto the gospel of God. Separated by God. He's the one that separated me out from my kinsmen, from my neighbors and friends. He called me, left them alone, and called me. There was a whole bunch of people with Paul that day on the road to Damascus. God called Paul, separated him out, said, Saul, Saul. Everybody else saw the light, didn't hear the word, didn't hear the voice. And Henry, you had a bunch of fellows with you, didn't you? A bunch of friends and family. And one day God separated you. Separated you by this gospel. And you heard the word. You heard the gospel. But they didn't hear it. They didn't hear it. That's goodness, isn't it? It's the goodness of God. And Paul says, I separated by God and separated unto the gospel of God. Separated to preach the gospel. Set apart to preach the gospel. Now, just for a minute, let's see what it is that separates the true apostles from false ones. And what it is that separates true preachers from false preachers. What is it? What is it that separates true preachers from false ones? There's a lot of preaching going on today. How do you know who is called by God this morning? A lot of preachers. A lot of preachers out there. A lot of preaching going on, so-called. How do you know? What is it that separates them? The gospel. True preachers are separated unto the gospel. They are determined to do nothing else but preach the gospel. Every true preacher this morning who is a true preacher, called of God, and he's called to a church, and there's sheep in that church, the true church, he's going to preach the gospel. And the sheep are going to hear it. They're going to hear his voice this morning. That's the true preacher. That's the true church. They're going to preach the gospel. Any man, listen to me now, any man, every man that has seen him, they're going to preach about him, aren't they? Where's that passage, Terry, over there in the Old Testament? Is it the last part of Hosea or somewhere? One of the old little prophets that said, what have we to do anymore with idols? Well, we've heard him. You remember that? I could find it real fast. You look it up. That's what he says there. The very last words of one of the minor prophets says, what have we to do anymore with idols? There was idols in here at one time. In this building one time, huh? Sure, sure there was. There's an Armenian, another gospel. It wasn't the gospel, it was another being preached in. Ellen, you know. You were here. What have you to do anymore with idols? Huh? What have you to do anymore with that Southern Baptist nonsense of winning souls and playing games anymore? Huh? You've heard him. So now what are you going to be taken up with? Now what do you demand to hear? Now, what is it that's imperative that we be taken up with? We've heard him. Any man who's ever seen him, he's going to preach about him. Isn't that right, Joe? If he hadn't seen him, he's not going to preach about it. But if he's seen him, what do you reckon Sheba went back down, the Queen of Sheba went back down to Sheba talking about? Huh? Solomon. She couldn't wait to get back. Tell everybody about it. I bet she made another trip. Wrote him letters. Well, this is what separates a true preacher from a false one. It's the gospel. Paul said, I'm separated to the gospel. To the gospel.
What is the gospel? Y'all remember Brother Walter Gruber's message? From this very text. Huh? Look at it here with me. Let's look at it. Here is the gospel. Many claim to preach it. Many can't claim to believe it. Paul says there's another one going around. Well, the gospel better contain these things right here. Or it's not the gospel, John. Because Paul's, if you want, there's no better place in all the scriptures to describe or to declare what the gospel is. Right here. This is it. Romans 1. All right, here it is. He says in verse 1, I'm called to be an apostle separated unto the gospel, point number 1, of God. It's the gospel of God, who God is, that God's God. That's the first thing you see. It started with God. God started in the mind, the purpose, and the will of God. And as every message should start, with God. The Word of God starts with God, doesn't it? In the beginning, God. Doesn't it? John 1, that glorious gospel of John, begins how? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. You don't start with man. You start with God. Because the gospel started with God. He was the first one to preach it. He's the one that thought it up. He was the first one to preach it. And it's what the gospel gives him all the glory. It's about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's about God who planned salvation. It's about God the Son who purchased salvation. It's about God the Holy Spirit who applies salvation. That's the gospel. Anything more or less is not the gospel. It's the gospel of God. Right? It's the good news that God's God. I never get tired of preaching that. I never get tired of hearing. You know the message that rejoices my heart when I hear it more than anything, as much or more than anything else, is just the good old-fashioned sovereignty of God. I love to hear a man stand up and just declare God to be God. I feel like standing up and cheering. You know, that's my God. God, the gospel of God. That's good news. It's good news that God's God. There's no good news if God's not God and you have to let Him. Huh? It's no good news. Might be bad news down the road if He can't save you. You know, you're going to wind up in hell after all because you couldn't keep yourself. But boy, good news is that God's God and He keeps everybody He's determined to save. And to save them. God's God. And look at number 2, verse 2. It's the gospel, verse 2, which He promised before in His prophets and in the Holy Scripture. By His prophets in the Holy Scripture. It's the gospel promised in the Old Testament. I told you about that preacher that said, I'm going to start preaching through Isaiah. He said, I've never preached from the book of Isaiah. This man had been in the ministry, so to speak, been a so-called preacher anyway, for years. 20 years, I know. He said, I've never preached from Isaiah. Whew, man, he claimed to be a grace preacher today. Man, oh man, you ain't preached the gospel unless you preach the gospel from the Old Testament. It must be. The gospel has to click with the Old Testament. Right? It's the gospel according to the Old Testament. That's what Paul preached, didn't he? Every time he got up, he opened the scriptures, didn't he? Christ preached the gospel of what? From the Bible. What Bible? The Old Testament. It says, then He opened up the scriptures to their understanding. Didn't it? From the Old Testament. It's the gospel according to the Old Testament. It's the gospel that's as old as God is. Old as God. Paul said over in 2 Corinthians chapter 15, he said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. And he went on to say, how Christ died according to the Scripture. That, there's the key to that passage. The gospel is the gospel of how Christ died according to the Scriptures. According to the Scriptures, according to the pattern. You remember when he told Moses that? See that you make all things according to the pattern. Don't leave one thing undone. Right? See that you preach the gospel according to the pattern. It hadn't changed. Right? You don't change it. It ain't no new gospel. It's the old, old gospel. Same gospel that Moses believed and preached. Same gospel that Noah believed and preached. Go on, keep on going back. Same gospel Abel heard and saved his soul. The gospel of blood. If ain't no blood in the preaching, ain't no gospel in it. Same gospel of a priest. You got to have a priest. Three ingredients to worship God. You know that? Three ingredients. You can't come to God without these three ingredients. Number one, blood. You can't come into the holiest holy of holies without the blood. There's no remission. God won't speak to anybody without blood. Number two, you got to have a priest. You can't bring the blood, Joe. Steve, you can't bring the blood. Your hands are filthy. You can't bring the blood. Got to be a high priest. Got to be a fit man. Got to be a holy man. Holy man. Who's that? We got one. Read Hebrews. Go through and read it. A great high priest. Scripture, great one. He went in there with blood. It wasn't lamb's blood, bulls and goats. His own precious blood. The holy of holies. And then the third thing, you got to have a tabernacle. You got to have a place. There's a mercy seat. You got to have a place where all these things are contained. Tabernacle. You see, our great, he's so great, he's all those things. He's the blood, he's the priest, and he's the tabernacle. He's the mercy seat. All those things. So it's got, and we worship the same way today. We got to worship the same way. And not with outward form and show. That's the reason I don't wear robes and try to look like a priest. I ain't a priest. We've got a priest. A great high priest who's passed into the heavens. He's the one that's showing the blood right now. He's the one who did all the work. He's the one. All we're doing is telling everybody about it. He's up there right now doing it. He's up there right now to pleading his own precious blood. Huh? We got to worship exact same way. Blood, priest, tabernacle. That's all in one person. The gospel concerning his son. Right? It's got to be the Christ of the Old Testament Scripture. The gospel got to be the same God, same Christ, same remedy for sin, blood. All right? Look at number 3, verse 3. It's the gospel of God, it's the gospel promised in the Holy Scriptures. And verse 3, it's the gospel concerning His Son, Jesus Christ. It's not concerning what you'll do with Him. It's not concerning what you must do or what you can be or ought to be or what we ought to do or what we're going to be or what's going to. It's the gospel concerning His Son. It's all about Him. It's all about, the gospel is all about Him. What He did, who He is, what He did, what He has done. It's all about His righteousness, not ours. It's all about His shed blood. It's all about His prayers, not ours. I was blessed by your prayer, Henry, but it's just another prayer, buddy. Right? I'm interested in somebody else's prayer. Aren't you? Because the Father always hears Him. It's always about His prayers. His prayers. Won't make much of prayers, let's make much of John 17. What do you say? We'll make much of righteousness, we'll make much of His. We'll speak of His righteousness and His only. Him. It's all about Him. The gospel is not do, do, do. It's the gospel of done. 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 Done by the Son. All right, read on. The gospel concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. That's important. The Word was made flesh. The humanity of Christ is very important. You see, He was, the Scripture says, He was made a little lower than the angels. Had to. God couldn't just come down, or God just couldn't say, "Well, I forgive you. Y'all are forgiven." No, sin had to be paid for. Without shedding the blood, no remission of sin. Well, God can't die, can He? God's Spirit. He can't. He has no blood, right? The Word, God became a man, was made flesh. Why? Well, you see Jesus made a little lower than the angels. Flesh and blood, lower than the spirit form. Flesh and blood, why? To taste death. To die. He came to die. That's why He came. To shed His blood. He was looking to Calvary's tree the day He walked this planet. Looking, set His face steadfast toward Jerusalem. That's why He came, to die. He came to live, to die. To shed that blood. Ah, boy, Son of God, Son of Man, yes, Son of David, more than a man, though. But He's more than a man. Verse 4. He's declared, and here's the fourth thing the gospel does. The gospel declares Him to be the Son of God with power. The gospel is the declaration of the powerful Son of God. It's not only the gospel of God, who is God. It's not only the gospel promised in the Old Testament Scripture. It's not only the gospel that completely and totally and 100% concerning His Son, all about Him and what He did and what He must do for us, but it's the gospel that declares Him to be all-powerful. All-powerful. And you know, I'm trying to preach with as much patience as I can this morning, not get mad. I'm prone to get mad when I think about these false gospels going around. And preach that way with a mean look on my face. But any gospel, so-called, that puts Jesus Christ in the hands of man is not the gospel. Any gospel that says He's not all-powerful, that He's done all He can do, but He left something undone, that's not the gospel. Any gospel that says that, here's the difference between the true gospel and the false. The false gospel says you make Him Lord. You must make Him Lord. The true gospel says God hath made this same Jesus Lord. The false gospel says, let Him into your heart. Won't you let Him into your heart? The true gospel says, I'm coming into your heart. I'm coming in. That's the true gospel. The false gospel says, now He can if you. He can if you. The true gospel says, I will and you shall. Huh? The false gospel says, now He cannot do it without you. The true gospel says, you can't do anything without me. Huh? Without me, you can do nothing. The true gospel says, all power is given. A double L. Not some. All power is given unto us. You and me, we'll share. Christ said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The gospel declares Him to be the Son of God with power. With power. Power, life-giving, soul-saving, soul-keeping power. There's power, blood, and the power in the blood. Not potential, power. saving power in that blood. Oh, boy. I'd like to camp there a while. All right, let's go on. He says, the gospel declares him to be the Son of God with power. And I'm telling you, this Jesus they're preaching today, he ain't got power to save a flea. He ain't got any power. He doesn't have as much power as you do. Because he wants to do something and you won't let him. That means you're more powerful than he is. Doesn't it? Take this tape to somebody. I'm preaching real nice. This shouldn't make anybody mad the way I'm my delivery, should it? But I'm just here to tell you that this Jesus they're preaching today, you're more powerful than he is. Because if he can't do something unless you let him, that means you're stronger than he is. Well, that's not the Son of God with power. That's another Jesus. That's another gospel. Oh, my. And it says here, he was declared to be the Son of God according to the Spirit of holiness. According to a holy life. Holy life. He was given the Holy Spirit without... He had the Holy Spirit without measure. It wasn't given him. He had the Holy Spirit without measure. His holy life. Only holy man ever lived. That's proof that he's God. Man. There's none righteous, no, not one. Well, this man was. Well, he must have been more than a man then. Because man can't do it. That's right. Now you're getting close. You're on the right track. He's more than a man, all right. Man can't live holy life. God can, though, as a man. He did, according to the Spirit of holiness. And it's the Holy Spirit that declares him to be the Son of God with power. Any powerful, if you ever hear a powerful message, it's going to be the Holy Spirit that's going to deliver it through a man. And what's it going to be about? About the powerful Son of God. About the Son of God with power. That's what the Holy Spirit declares. That's what God, the Holy Spirit, anoints, the preaching he anoints about God's Son who has all power. All power. And that what he said in John 16, he said, when he comes, he's not going to speak about himself. He's going to take the things of mine and show them to you. What things of Christ? His power. His power. All right, let's read on down here. And we'll skip on down to verse 14, all right? And these other things are no less important, but Paul is displaying his affection for these people at Rome and in verses 6 through 12. But down to verse 14, skip on down through here. He says in verse 14, now I'm a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and unwise. I'm a debtor to Christ is what I am. I'm working for him. Remember, he started out that. Then in that way he started, Stan, he said, I'm working for Christ. I'm not working for you. Let's make that clear. Paul wasn't a hireling. He said, I'm not in this thing hired by you people. God called me. And God gave me one message to bring. And I'm working for him. Say, I'm his slave. I'm a debtor to him, but I'm a debtor to your soul. A debtor to your souls, verse 15, and this is what I'm indebted to do for the good of your soul, the glory of God. So as much as in me, whatever strength he gives me, I got to do something. I got to do something for you. What? What's the best thing that a man can do for you? Look at it, verse 15. I'm ready to preach the gospel. There it is again. I'm a debtor to God, I work for him, and I'm a debtor to you to preach the gospel to you. That's why I'm here. Paul said, that's what I'm writing about, he said. That's the only ministry there is. I hear about preachers and men and even women talking about their ministry. Well, we're in the ministry. What are you in the ministry? We're in the youth ministry. What do you do? Well, we take them on hay rides and had ball games and we have cookouts and that's not the ministry.
That's just a good old time. You can get that down at the 4-H Club. Huh? You can get that in the Bluebirds or the Girl Scouts or the Boy Scouts. You can get all, and all that's fine and dandy. It's good and all that, but don't call that the ministry. There's only one ministry. It's the gospel ministry. Oh, yeah, we do that. We do that. We preach the gospel to them right in the midst of all that nonsense. You know, we sneak it up on them. That's what they do, people. They think, you know, they get kids out, get them having a good time, and they think if they can befriend them and all that, then we'll sneak the gospel in on them, and we'll jerk the profession out of them. That's underhanded sneak. That's being ashamed of the gospel is what it is. Bring them in. Compel them to come in and sit down when the gospel is going to be preached from start to finish. That's where they're going to hear the gospel. Generally, that little gospel that they're going to hear and sneak in on those kids is some little watered-down message of sweet Jesus and His love, and won't you accept Him and make your decision, and don't do drugs, and make a life for yourself and all that, and everything will be pie in the sky. That's about all it is. Right? People are going to be saved. They're going to have to hear a powerful gospel about a powerful Lord and fall down at His feet. And so Paul says, I'm a debtor. Woe is unto me if I don't preach. I'm indebted to preach the gospel. Verse 16. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know that most of the world's so-called preachers are very much ashamed of this gospel that I'm preaching this morning. They would not stand beside me and claim before their people and say, yes, I believe that. What that man's preaching, what I'm preaching, they wouldn't own up to it before their people, would they? If they were up here with me this morning, or I was in their before their congregation, and they were seated on the pulpit, and I began to preach just who God is, what man is, who Christ is, Son of God with power, where salvation can be found. It's in Christ and Him alone. His work, not ours. They wouldn't own up to it. They're ashamed of it. Thanksgiving, will changing. I don't ask people to do something. I don't ask people if they will. I just preach the gospel and stand back and watch God make them willing. It's power. I see it work. I just say, God's God, and watch them melt. Just watch them melt. God's people, that is. I just say, all that the Father gives Christ to come to Christ. I don't ask them to come. Keep begging them and bribe them and go over to their house and try to jerk a prophet. I just say, Christ is Christ and God's God and you're in His hand. All the Father gives Him will come to Him and bow and worship Him. And I watch them come. Stand back in amazement and watch God bring them. Bring them in. Bringing in the sheep. They shall come rejoicing. Bringing in the sheep. All the Father gives Him will come to Him. It's power. Paul says the power of God is life-giving, will-changing. It's actual saving power. This gospel actually saves people. I mean, it actually saves them. It actually takes an old hell-bound, hell-bent, God-hating, holiness-hating, son of Adam, spitting, cussing, drinking, chewing, and every other vile thing that man can do. It takes an old bum like that, an old worm like that, a harlot on the street, a drunk in the gutter, you name it. Whatever, how bad, uttermost, it saves them to the uttermost. Reaches way down and picks them up out of the muck and mire and washes them. Cleans them up. Actually cleans them up.
It actually saves them and it keeps them. This gospel has power to actually keep people saved. And that's how, what you do to keep people saved. You know, like I said, you don't have to go over to their house and make sure, well, why hadn't you been to church lately? You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. Just preach the gospel. That's why they hadn't been to church lately. You're not preaching the gospel. Isn't it? Preacher, if you preach the gospel, I'd come. That's what your dad told that man, wasn't it, that time. He said, her dad told her preacher one time, he said, I'm not coming back. He said, and he hadn't heard the gospel yet, but he knew what he was hearing wasn't the gospel. And he told that preacher one time, he said, I'm just not coming back. He said, I got to go somewhere and hear something. He said, I'm not hearing something. I don't know what it is, but I'm not hearing it. The preacher begged him, said, well, if you'll come back, I'll try to do better. And he said he did, didn't he? He said he preached a little better message or something. He included a little bit of hell or a little bit of something in there, you know. I had a little spit and venom about him that day, but it still wasn't the gospel. And he finally quit going there and went someplace and he heard something. And he's still there. 30 years later, he's still there. And he had a daughter, and there she is, and she's still here. Huh? Gospel's what keeps you saved, what keeps you coming back. It's keeping power. It powerfully saves, it powerfully changes, it powerfully keeps. It's a power of love that actually saves. You tell me what gospel there is in love that can't save anybody. Huh? I don't know why anybody wants to do anything, have anything to do with the love of God they're talking about today. Do you, Jeanette? Say, God loves you so much, but can't do anything. I don't need love like that. Do you, Ed? I don't need love like that. That's not good news to me. But I'll tell you what's good news is the love of an all-powerful heavenly Father who actually loves me and said, I'm going to love you all your life. And I'm going to see to it, everything about you. Lord, see to it. Jehovah Jireh, that's his name, has all power and his love is eternal. He said, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. I'm going to have you. I'm going to draw you. I'm going to keep you saved all throughout eternity. I ain't going to try nothing. I'm going to do it. Now that's love. That's powerful love. That's the gospel of God's powerful love. It's powerful love. It's love that saves. It's a powerful gospel of his blood. I've already talked about that. Get back on it again. The power in the blood, it actually cleanses. It actually justifies. Actually justifies. The power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. Listen to it. We're talking about a Holy Spirit who has all power. Invincible. Irresistible power. He has all power. Let me tell you something. This Holy Spirit won't take no for an answer. That's the Holy Spirit I need. Isn't it you, Terry? No, no, no. Yes, yes, yes. You will. You will. This Holy Spirit is so powerful, he won't take I quit for an answer. I like that too, don't you? Well, I'm just going to quit. Peter says, I'm going fishing. No, you're not, Peter. No, you're not. Well, I'll let you fish a day or two, but I'm coming back to get you. I'm coming back. You may be through with me. I ain't through with you. Because what I began, I'll finish it. I'm confident. I'm persuaded he's able to keep. To keep. Now that's power, isn't it? That power. If I had the power, I love that girl so much. If I had the power now, I'd make sure she never got sick a day in her life, never did without anything, and was saved. Her soul was saved and sure for heaven. I don't have the power. If I had the power, I'd do it. I don't. God does. And does. He has the power, and that's exactly what he does. And I don't need any other gospel. You can have it. Not you. You won't have it. But whoever out there wants another gospel, if any man comes preaching another Jesus, bear with him. What Paul said, didn't
Another spirit, another gospel, another Jesus. That's what you want. Take it. Scott would say, each man to his own poison.
Now, I am not going to take anything but the gospel that's powerful. Right? That's where I'm going to deposit my soul, in the hands of this all-powerful one. Huh? Not one who tries and fails, but this one he actually saves. I'm persuaded. Terry, I'm persuaded now more than ever. He's able. That's salvation in a nutshell. Isn't that what he said about Abraham? Abraham believed God. What did he believe about God? He was able. He's God. Why is he able? Because he's God. Why is Christ able to say? He's Christ. He's Lord. He's got all power. That's power. That's the God of the Bible. And that's the gospel. And I got to quit. Now, verse 17, though, it says, I wanted to talk about this a while, but and verse 17 says, in this gospel is the righteousness of God revealed, and you people know it. Oh, you know this. Blessed are your ears. And hearing this in your heart, you believe it. You know it down in your heart what the righteousness of God is. Don't you, John? Huh? There was a time if a man stood up and said, John, do you have the righteousness of God? You know what the righteousness of God is? Do you have it? You say, well, yeah, I quit my drinking. And I'm trying to quit chewing. It's tough. But I'm trying, and here I am going to church. You'd have thought that's righteousness, wouldn't you? Huh? You were ignorant of the righteousness and going about to establish your own, weren't you? Saying, well, if I just get good enough, God will have me. That's ignorant, isn't it? You're ignorant of the righteousness. You heard a man, eventually you heard a man who declared the righteousness of God. A person. Romans 10:4. Jesus Christ, the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. The end. The end of the law to righteousness. Jesus Christ, Jehovah Sid Kenu. When you heard that, you gave a shout. That's the righteousness I need and I want. The Lord. Surely one will say, and right there he sits, in the Lord have I righteousness. Are you a righteous man? Do you have the righteousness of God? You better. Do you? You better be as holy as God Almighty. You better be. Are you? Well, some of you are doing that. But you're a sinner. Yeah? Well, where do you get this? Get off saying you're as good as God? In Christ. My righteousness. Well, you know, this is, if there ever was a truth, the truth that's throughout the Scriptures from start to finish. That's what all those Old Testament sacrifices, everything spoke of concerning Him. This righteous one, the righteous one of God, the Holy One of Israel. The Holy One of Israel. Israel's Holy One. God, He said, my righteous servant, behold, my righteous servant, whom I'm well pleased. He's going to come. It's written in the volume of the book of Him to do thy will and do it for us. But He says here in verse 17 that or verse 18, some men hold this truth in unrighteousness. And God's angry with them. You see that? What's that mean, Rick? Some men hold the truth in unrighteousness. What's that mean? Some men hold the truth of God in unrighteousness. I'm holding the truth right now. This is the truth of God's Word. It's the truth of God's Son. This is the truth. It's God's Word. Every word is truth. And every word of it speaks of Christ, who is the truth. The truth. The truth, right? Truth of who God is, the truth of what I am, the truth of how we're saved. The truth of a righteousness imputed and a blood shed for the remission of sins. Right? Some men hold this in unrighteousness. In other words, they've got it, but they ain't got it. You get it?
They're preaching truths, but they ain't preaching the truth. Get it? They hold it in unrighteousness. What's unrighteousness? Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. It's unrighteous. Whatsoever is not of his righteousness is another righteousness, in self-righteousness. Right? Anybody's preaching any other gospel, preaching it from the Bible, and it's not the gospel of righteousness imputed, he's holding the truth in unrighteousness. And God's angry. Why do you think he sent his son? Why do you think he butchered his son? If we can do the best we can do and God will accept that, why did he kill his son? Huh? Isn't that a good question? If righteousness come by the law, Christ died in vain. He didn't need to die. But here's the conclusion of the matter. Here's the conclusion. No man is justified by the works of the law in the sight of God. How, then, are we justified? Just shall live by faith. That's what Paul said there in that verse. He said, the just, let's just wrap this thing up. The just shall live by his faith. That's what Habakkuk 2:4 said. His faith. His faith. His faithful life imputed to us. You got it? All right. Brother Joe, come up here and lead us in singing a closing hymn, if you would. You got something picked out? What is it? 127. You stand, sing 127.